A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Stephen, filled with grace and power, was working great wonders and signs among the people. Certain members of the so-called synagogue of freedmen, Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and people from Cilicia and Asia, came forward and debated with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke. When they heard this, they were infuriated, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked up intently to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out in a loud voice, covered their ears, and rushed upon him together. They threw him out of the city and began to stone him. The witnesses laid down their cloaks at the feet of a young man named Saul. As they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Verbum Domini.
Thank you. Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of men, for they will hand you over to courts and scourge you in their synagogues, and you will be led before governors and kings for my sake, as a witness before them and the pagans. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say. You will be given at that moment what you are to say. For it will not be you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will hand over brother to death, and the father his child. Children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But whoever endures to the end will be saved." Verbum Domini.
Where's the gospel? May our sins be wiped away.
On the surface, it might seem rather peculiar that the Church has traditionally observed the feast of St. Stephen on the day immediately following Christmas Day. The readings for the Christmas Solemnity convey a sense of joyful tidings for all at the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. And amid the poor surroundings of Jesus and the Holy Family is the joyous occasion of the arrival of a little child, who carries with him the promise of salvation for all on whom his favor rests. And the birth of a child is always a call for celebration at the new life that has been introduced into the world and the promise of a brighter future. And yet, as Bishop Fulton Sheen has famously pointed out, the shadow of the cross stretches out so broadly over time that its arms even extend over the crib of the holy infant Jesus. The Church likewise observes during the Christmas octave the Feast of the Holy Innocents, which also seems odd. These precious children who were slaughtered by a fearful, power-hungry tyrant who perceived a little child as a potential threat to his reign. And so while the Christmas season is indeed a time of rejoicing and finding comfort in the coming of Christ as an infant, we are also reminded of the underlying spiritual battle that ensues between the light and the darkness. However, as John famously says in his gospel, the darkness has not overcome the light that has shone into the world. And if we are wondering why the feast of St. Stephen, a deacon who was brutally martyred, would take place during the Christmas octave, we can find the answer in a sermon that was delivered by the bishop, St. Fulgentius of Ruspe. His sermon on the second read from the, is the second reading today from the Office of Readings in the Liturgy of the Hours, or the Divine Office, the prayers that clergy are required to pray daily. And in his sermon, St. Fulgentius says, "Yesterday we celebrated the birth in time of our eternal King. Today we celebrate the triumphant suffering of his soldier. Yesterday our King, clothed in his robe of flesh, left his place in the Virgin's womb and graciously visited the world. Today, his soldier leaves the tabernacle of his body and goes triumphantly to heaven." Now, it seems rather peculiar that Fulgentius would refer to St. Stephen as a soldier of Christ. It's just an interesting choice of words. There are no places in sacred scripture that describe Stephen as a soldier or as someone who engaged in physical combat of any kind. We see no evidence of violence in this benevolent deacon who simply wished to proclaim Christ to his people and to call them to faith and to repentance. The accounts in the book of Acts describe Stephen as a man filled with grace and power, a person who worked great wonders and signs among the people, and a man whose face seemed like that of an angel. As a deacon chosen by the apostles, he was assigned the task of overseeing the daily distribution of goods to the poor, especially to widows. Everything that is mentioned about Stephen in the scriptures points to a kind, peaceful, gentle man who inflicted no violence or injury upon anyone. So naturally, when St. Fulgentius calls Stephen a soldier of Christ, he is using the term soldier in an analogous way. St. Stephen was not a soldier in a worldly sense, who took up weapons of war to fight against a physical enemy of flesh and blood. Rather, he was a spiritual soldier who opposed the spiritual enemies, those who stubbornly reject the identity of Jesus Christ as the Messiah of God. And while worldly soldiers are concerned with carrying out physical military campaigns with the objective of liberating areas from enemy occupation, a Christian soldier like Stephen is concerned with spiritual liberation, that is, the liberation of hearts, minds, and souls from the bondage of sin and death. As a Christian soldier, the weapons wielded by St. Stephen are not physical weapons such as swords, knives, or bows, but the spiritual weapons wielded by Christ, such as prayer, love, and mercy. And St. Fulgentius then puts a finer point on the connection between the birth of Jesus Christ and the martyrdom of St. Stephen. He says, "And so the love that brought Christ from heaven to earth raised Stephen from earth to heaven. Shone first in the king, it later shone forth in his soldier." Love was Stephen's weapon by which he gained every battle, and so won the crown signified by his name. His love of God kept him from yielding to the ferocious mob. His love for his neighbor made him pray for those who were stoning him. Love inspired him to reprove those who erred, to make them amend. Love led him to pray for those who stoned him, to save them from punishment. Strengthened by the power of his love, he overcame the raging cruelty of Saul and won his persecutor on earth as his companion in heaven. In his holy and tireless love, he longed to gain by prayer those whom he could not convert by admonition. And so it's appropriate that the name Stephen means crown or garland, something that has sometimes been offered as a prize for earthly soldiers who emerge victorious from battle. Stephen did not earn a material crown that eventually withers away and perishes, but an everlasting crown of martyrdom. It is the coming of the Son of God as man that has filled St. Stephen with the grace, the love, and the courage to willingly offer his life as a victim in union with the sacrifice and the suffering of Christ. And Stephen does not seek to destroy the lives of his enemies, inspired, of course, by our Lord's words, his teaching to love our enemies, but rather chooses the path of love and mercy by laying down his life for the sake of his enemies. In his final moments, he does not pray for vengeance upon them, but rather imitates Jesus on the cross by praying for his enemies, that their sin might not be held against them. And St. Fulgentius concludes his sermon with an important message for all Christians. He says, "Love indeed is the source of all good things. It is an impregnable defense, and the way that leads to heaven. He who walks in love can neither go astray nor be afraid. Love guides him, protects him, and brings him to his journey's end. My brothers and sisters, Christ made love the stairway that would enable all Christians to climb to heaven. Hold fast to it, therefore, in all sincerity. Give one another practical proof of it, and by your progress in it, make your ascent together. St. Stephen chose to follow in the footsteps of Christ by demonstrating the love, mercy, and forgiveness of Christ in his witness to the faith. His martyrdom is a powerful witness to the reality of the incarnation of the Son of God and the peace that Christ wishes to bring into the world. In Christ, there is no fear of suffering or death, since we know that our Lord has overcome sin and death once and for all.